What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Films Cast.
And that's it.
Thank you, Trey.
I love Blake's, and that's it. That would be a drop we would play, I feel like.
Well, you need to put a record scratch in there after you say Super Films Cast.
I'm Blake Ball. I'm so cool.
Don't say 64.
Look at my soul patch mustache thing going on.
Just wait till we get video. Y'all going to love it.
I love it. Can't wait.
For these cheekbones.
Blake's got the most disheveled look.
It is. It's a representation of my inside, of my soul.
We need to clean you up. We need to clean you up. Get you respectable. You know.
You sound like my dad, bro.
We got Jay over here with his new haircut.
I know. Like Jay looking fresh.
Looking 17
handsome.
Years old.
I hit up the barber.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, it's time because it was finally getting down to my shoulders.
Started to look like a beetle. Started to look like the ugly fifth beetle.
Not Ringo.
Well, no,
what about the ugly fourth
Wasn't
Beatle?
Wasn't he like the cute one? Like people were always like, he's the cute one. Which is, I was mind
boggled. I think they were just coming up with something to call him nice. You know,
right.
Like they always had something for Paul, or everyone knew John Lennon or George Harrison. But then
John
Ringo
was the wife abuser one, right?
Let's see.
He was the wife abuser.
Honestly, like not to loop all of the rich men in the 60s in one group, but I'm pretty sure a lot of
Probably
them
that, a lot
beat
of them
their
were.
Wives. Hey, and it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, Blake.
I think we should cancel the Beatles.
I'll ask my watch because my phone's not working.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Siri,
which Beatle was the cute one?
I didn't get that. Well, could you try again?
Yeah, hold on.
It went through all the records online.
No, damn it, she picked that up.
Hey, Siri.
Hold on. Damn it, now my watch it won't stop going off.
What Beatle is considered the cute one?
Nope. Hey, Siri.
Bitch.
Hey,
Paul's
Siri.
The shy one, I know that.
Yeah. Which Beatle is the cute one?
I found this on the web.
You're not going to read
Bet.
It? Okay, cool. Well, I guess she's not going to read it.
Hey,
well, my watch says, oh, damn it, it went away. All right, you know
I guess
what?
We'll
I'm
never
done.
Know.
I'm done.
We'll never know that. We'll
they said
never
John
know.
Was one of them.
John, well, they're all...
John was a Beatle.
They're all cute. You know, they all have like cute little haircuts and
they're very British. Yeah, I don't know if I'd call British people cute.
I mean, to the British standard, you know.
I still don't know. Not many Brits are cute.
For the record, this is an anti-British podcast.
You ever watch
Ted? Yeah, no,
we can't get canceled. Yeah, we can't get canceled.
Because
we don't want your business anyways.
You ever watch Ted Lasso?
I did.
Well, like, you can't even look at the women even when they're semi-attractive because it's like, oh, hello, governor. We won't go out tonight.
But why is that, like, kind of attractive to me?
It's a little attractive to me.
The Australian... Oh, here we go, talking over each other. The Australian accent is awesome. British accent, hell no. It's funny.
I had two Brits in my car. They're
ladies. Oh, that was a slur.
They're ladies, and they had a British accent, and they were very cute.
Are we allowed
to
call them Brits?
Yeah, you can call them Brits. And they told me to watch Peep Show.
I don't like British accents. I can deal with Australian accents.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
The British do not make good films.
Okay. They make good
comedies.
They do
comedies.
Not make... Their comedy...
Shaun of the Dead?
Never did it for me. None of those guys.
Okay. British comedy as a whole is hit or miss.
Yes.
Edgar Wright doing that with Simon Pegg and all of them, of course, is fantastic. Edgar Wright's not British, though, is he?
Banger. Yes, they are.
Is he
banger
British?
After banger
well, his name
after
is Edgar.
Banger.
Well, maybe.
But all those movies with Sean Penn and whatnot, I do
not
like
Sean
those. Not Sean Penn. Sorry. My God, now I'm stupid now. What's it? It's Nick Frost and Sean...
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg. Boy, I'm dumb.
What?
Sean Penn.
That's Fast Times, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hold on. Didn't Sean Penn interview El Chapo?
What a brain fart. Did he?
I think he did.
We're
for like Time Magazine. Yeah.
Pretty sure he did. We don't have a lot of time to go down rabbit holes
Simon
today.
Pegg.
The last thing I'll say on this, talking about Australian accents, I think Australian accents are awesome. I was never attracted to one, like from a... female perspective until
but
Margot Robbie.
Hugh Jackman.
Until Margot Robbie.
Well, like, Margot Robbie is just...
Well, I'm talking about like from a female. Like
right.
A female Australian accent to me is now
she
attractive.
She almost doesn't sound Australian.
Well, because she's been here. She doesn't
Most
have, like,
Australians can hide their accent and do a
American. But she sounds more British, though.
Probably just being
well,
over
to
here.
Be fair, Australian is a form of British.
Right. Yeah. But it's not like this.
They're the criminals.
I'm seeing a picture of Edgar Wright smiling, and I could tell you he was British.
Yeah.
Never mind. I didn't know. I thought he was American. And then I enjoy some British comedies because I like his movies.
There you go.
Maybe we'll watch those for the podcast. Maybe I could give them a second chance.
Maybe.
They never did it for me growing up, but I was also very young.
Oh, dude, Hot Fuzz.
I actually never saw Hot Fuzz.
It's a very dark comedy, but man, it's funny.
Very good.
Didn't they have one more before? Then we can get into like Clerks.
It was
and stuff.
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and At World's End.
At World's End. Yeah,
At World's End.
I saw
the
World's End, okay. And I didn't like that one. Okay. And that was the most recent one I saw.
I didn't like it as much.
I saw it in theaters.
I think it's for a very specific person who like, because it's sort of about coming back to your hometown after being there for after leaving for a long time.
I never left my hometown, so I can't relate.
I don't want to say worst, but it's probably the weakest. Yeah, the weakest
of the
out
three.
Of the three.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just not.
It's hard
to
choose between Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz.
Yeah,
the top one.
I agree.
So, speaking of,
is that what they recommended you to watch? Those movies?
They recommended Peep Show.
I don't know what that is.
It's a British show on the telly.
Peep shows here in Dallas.
Yeah, I say, you don't got to go all the way to
England.
Well,
you know, speaking of peep shows and other kind of shows, we did watch a movie on our Kevin Smith rewatch.
Hey, look at that. That's a segue.
I'm a radio professional. Did that for 10 years.
You could have done that with what I said earlier, too.
Yeah, maybe. Clerks 2. We watched that.
Could have segued because you know what they say in that movie.
Yeah, they say a lot of things.
They do say a lot of things in that movie. Do you want to repeat all of them, Jay?
I'm not going to repeat anything. And I honestly should have had a counter for that movie because just all the bad things it said. And this is one of the only times that I didn't have a counter.
I don't think you could have counted that. Not saying you can't count that high. I think the counter would have broken.
Thank you.
I think the counter would have broken.
Yeah, lots of... I think it's still a really funny movie, Clerks 2, but man, some of the wording, you're like, ooh.
It felt like Kevin Smith wanted to be the most shocking he could be.
Yeah, and well, would it have been 10 years since Clerks at that time? 12 years? Because
Clerks was 94.
Okay, and this was 2006.
Right.
And he...
Yeah, 12 years.
So, yeah, and Kevin Smith got money for this movie as compared to Clerks. So he kind of just, you know, he probably wanted to go all out, which he definitely did on the script.
Yeah, in my opinion... Jay, didn't you say this was your favorite one?
Yeah.
So
this is my introduction to the Viewersk universe when I was a kid.
See, as somebody who had never been introduced until like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I hate to say, I think this was my least favorite one so far. It just didn't work for me as well. Yeah. Like, it was like, and like, I mean, that's the whole point of this, while we're doing this, but it's like, it seemed like Kevin Smith wasn't sure if he wanted to do the second Clerks movie, like the first Clerks movie, or like the other movies in his Viewersk universe. And he was kind of tying them together. And it just, to me, it didn't really work. Like, I feel like the Clerks one worked so well. And I think on the first podcast we did, I talked about how I don't really like those vignette things. The more I think about it, the more that works for something as mundane as working as a clerk. This, it was like, they kept mixing them, and I'm sure this is the point, the mundaneness with working at like a fast food restaurant with like the batshit crazy, like Jay and Silent Bob, basically Jay doing his whole Sounds of Lambs thing. All that, like, to me, it was just like I was tripping. Like, it was like a fever dream. I was like, this just does not feel like it's in the realm, but it's all the same people. It's still Jay and Silent Bob.
It's
still Dante.
It's 12 years of Kevin Smith. I'm not trying to be this guy, but, you know.
No, be the guy, please.
That's why we had the podcast.
I want you to be. Because this is fair criticism that Blake has given. Because when I first saw it, as it was my favorite in my introduction, because I didn't know anything about the universe. I just know this takes place at some fast food. I don't really need to know anything else.
Well, think about it. Kevin Smith made Clerks for nothing with his buddies, right? This has made money with the studio. He's been in Hollywood for 12 years. He's friends with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Harvey Weinstein and all these
three dogs, top dogs.
And, he's going back and writing a movie about people who work at a fast food restaurant. So he's not going to relate to that like he did back in 1994.
It seemed a little more out of touch.
Yeah.
And I feel like the thing is, coming from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, that movie was so big. It felt like he was trying to like do that in this one in a way.
Yeah, I'm with you a little bit.
But it's like he was still trying to stand true to like that whole what made Clerks 1 special. And I'm sure it worked for a lot of people. And I'm sure, like, if I watched that as the first...
Dude, imagine seeing that when you're 13 years
old. Oh, no, I'm with
you. Like, everything about that. But like I said, I just saw it as it takes place in a fast food joint. And I don't know anything about Jay and Silent Bob beforehand. So I'm seeing dudes doing the goodbye horses and selling weed in the parking lot. Or when it says on the side of the building, eat pussy. And they're like, oh, yeah, we totally do. That's the funniest shit I ever saw in my life, dude.
That was the same thing with me and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And when you're 13 years old, that is the funniest shit ever. Yeah. When and you're when you're in your 20s and 30s, it's kind of a little juvenile.
Yeah, and it's not my favorite because it's a great film. It's because it holds a near and dear place in my heart. Like, my brother showed it to me. Okay, like, all the little things. It's like, it's
totally
fair. It has the emotional thing for it.
That can be that could be your favorite Kevin Smith movie, and I will, and for that reason, and I can't say anything against that.
Yeah. Because
that's just, yeah.
But, I mean, overall, with how shocking it is, you're still like, even with now today, when you can't say, you couldn't say that stuff really in 2006. Yeah. And now you're like, whoa.
It's just,
and
like, then, for me with that stuff, it's not like it, like, oh my God, I'm offended. But it's like, okay, really?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, like, what? It's very forced in there.
What are you doing?
What do we gain from that?
People don't know what we're saying. They drop the N word a bunch of times trying to.
Within five minutes, a lot of slurs.
It's just in that one scene where they do it and they're trying to say, it's the message they're putting across is they're like, no, the times are changing. You can't say those things anymore, but they keep doubling down by saying the things. And so it's just like, it's a juxtaposition of what they're trying to explain to you, but they're just doing it in a very crude manner. Hey, don't say this word. And he's like, oh, my grandma said it. It's cute. You know, blah, blah, blah. She always had respect for these people. She would always say, do this and that and that. And then he says like a hardcore racial slur again. You're like, whoa.
It was like, I feel like that point could have been made if he stuck with like the, and then this is not, I'm not putting slurs on a, you know, thing,
pedestal.
But it's like the first word, the first racial slur that he said was definitely like
that's
less abrasive
a funnier
than the other ones.
You're trying not to get in trouble here
with this wording,
because he says the N-word first and then he's like, that's not a racial slur, and then he goes and says like five of them on his hand and he goes, those are racial slurs. And I was like, in a way you're right, but
do we really need that?
you didn't need to say all of them.
Because that, to me,
because then you give people fuel for ones to say down the line that may not have known that, or like a seventh grader, which I knew those were slurs at the time and I knew not to say that, but nowadays, dude, show that to a seventh grader, they don't know what it means. Of course they're just gonna go out and say stuff like that they hear in a movie. Who didn't when we were kids?
Like I can appreciate the point that Kevin was trying to make with that, saying like times are changing. You can't say it. Like Dante's character being like, what are you doing? You can't say that and all that kind of stuff, which is
totally. Can we talk about how that guy is one of the most fugly motherfuckers in the world?
Dante,
and he's just,
they kept saying it in the movie.
And he's just fucking the hottest women. And he's like getting in like.
He's like, how do you look like that and always have like two women on you?
I was thinking the same thing.
And then he said it. I was like,
it's like, yeah, really.
Kevin can read the room.
It's like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, and also like it's so funny because Randall is supposed to be like, oh, Randall's obviously the worst one of the two.
Wild card.
Dude,
he's
Dante
not, actually.
Dante is a bad fucking person.
He's a bad person.
Like Randall is just like abrasive and stupid.
Yeah. Randall knows who he is.
Yeah.
Dante doesn't.
Dante thinks he's like a God's gift to fucking Earth, and he's out here cheating on every girl I've ever seen him with.
Randall knows I am a piece of shit, so I'm going to just live like
that.
He's like, I know what I am, I know what I'm about, but you have no freaking clue and you think you're better than me.
Yeah, you also worked at the Quick Mart for 10 years. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you trying to get away? Like, trying to change? Yeah, for the first half of the movie, I was like, okay, maybe like Dante is
the
good
same,
guy. Yeah, but then the end of the movie, I was like, okay, it's the same.
Yeah, and like the first movie, it's a little more innocent in a way, and I felt like Randall was sort of kind of the instigator, but this one I'm just like, yeah, Dante's a, like you were saying, a bad person.
Hey, he's just like smug. He thinks his shit don't stink.
Randall's gonna get his shit off and say his shit, so you know, like no matter what. But Dante is just like, ugh. He's happy with this. Dante just gets all butthurt for no reason. It's like, dude,
Jeff,
the one who put yourself in this situation.
No, Dante he's the personification of I deserve more, but I'm not putting the work in.
Jeff Anderson's the guy who plays Randall. I actually do like him. Like, I think he's a good actor.
He's better than Randall.
He's fun.
Dante.
Like, I wish he would be in more stuff. Like, he's fun. You know, like, I could see him being, like, bit players in movies because he's got that blue-collar feel to him. But
except I just imagine Trey getting really mad during the scene when he's just, like, trashing the Lord of the Rings. He's like, here's the first movie, and he just walks. He's like, here's the second movie.
But dude, that scene was so cringy though.
Yeah, okay. Coming from you.
No, from anyone.
It is cringy of them making fun of it, but I just like how in that whole thing, there's the two guys eating at the other end of the restaurant, and they're watching this whole thing go down. And that one guy, when he's like shows the reenactment of Lord of the Rings and throws the ring down from across the restaurant, that one dude's just like, "Fuck yeah!"
I wish
like,
I
mean, they realize it is ridiculous.
It's yeah. It's so stupid. And, but I also hate that kind of shit. I don't know.
You don't like when they make fun of Lord of the Rings?
No, I don't.
As Blake sits behind three Lord of the Rings
masterpieces.
Posters.
Like I'm that meme of that girl sitting with all those guys behind her looking at her.
Yeah, your Piper parody.
I wouldn't
know who that
thing
is.
Thing is, I was going to say don't Piper, but is. I didn't want anybody to be like, why do you know her name?
Never seen. I saw it in the comments on Facebook from one of those memes.
Yeah, I've never watched.
Yeah, I mean, this one is, it's rough. It's rough. It's a bit rough. Not the worst.
You wouldn't want to work at movies?
Oh, I would like to work at movies.
Well, if I knew the manager was putting out like that, yeah. I'm working at movies, bro.
Rosario Dawson.
I know Blake would be Dante just painting her face in his office, dude.
He'd
like,
be man. The biggest simp.
I do that shit for
the
free, man.
The biggest simp.
Wouldn't even have to pay
and
me.
Blake knows... Like, as soon as Elias came on screen,
that place
that's
is
Trey.
Understaffed.
That is Trey.
That place is understaffed.
Of course it is.
Especially when half of the staff leaves and goes go-karting for an hour.
Yeah.
And then leave the guy who can't make fries. Like, what? Your job is to make fucking french fries. How do you not know how to make
and
french
fries? And then Wanda Sykes is there, and you know the sole purpose of her in any movie or TV show is to yell at racist white people.
Yeah, and she was in the scene yeah. with all the N-words, and right. you're just like... She always plays someone who's mad at a white yes. guy for being racist, and it's funny because it's like
she's
you know
she's
she has to hear right. all that crap from almost every single time she acts, but you know she's probably getting her bag. Go Wanda.
I was thinking about
she is
that.
Funny.
She does
I,
have
think,
to deal with
I
that.
Do think Wanda Sykes is
I
pretty
think
funny.
She's, yeah, she's good.
But she does have a stereotype.
I think I gave this a 2.5 stars.
Shut up.
Hi,
sorry.
Siri.
This podcast is a little loose today.
A little loose
I don't know why she was talking. I like her husband in that. He's like, baby, you can't taste racism.
That face.
Because they're like, yeah, they're like, here, we'll give you all your money back and take the food on us. And she like, no, I'm not eating some food made by some. And then she drops a slur there.
Yeah.
And he's like,
can't
I will.
Say that.
And, I mean, I would have taken the free food
yeah,
and my money back.
Yeah. Yeah, preferably both.
I do like some free fast food.
Now, I will say this movie... I feel like it 100% captured what 2006 raunchy cinema
oh,
was.
Oh, dude, it's so early 2000.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, like that 03, 04, 05, 06,
yeah.
like that four-year time span where it just
fit perfectly.
All things go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it was, I mean, it fit perfectly with like the Superbads of the world and all those movies. I don't think they're
way more nuanced.
Well, I'm
where
saying
he's
it's
talking
it's
about
maybe
the
not nuanced,
he's talking about the crudeness.
Yeah,
and the,
oh, okay,
vibe,
yeah,
the
overall
like
vibe,
with
even
the gross out, gross
yeah.
out, crude. Yeah,
and even
yeah,
the color
you.
Grading on the movie.
Yeah,
looked
it's
entirely
very bright,
different
yeah.
from the other movies,
yes.
which also tripped me out.
I'd say like 03 to 08. Yeah, that was like the really crude types
yeah.
of.
Yeah, well, I would even say 99 with American Pie.
Role models.
I would say even 99 with American Pie. Kind of started
no,
that.
Yeah, man.
You know, yeah.
I would argue that American Pie kicked it off.
Probably, yeah.
And maybe Mallrats thought it was.
Do we
want to
rewatch American Pie? Would that be a fun one, though?
We could do that.
We could do that.
You'd love to see.
Should we do, because we did a few years ago, me and Adam did like the
who?
2000s comedies.
Trey,
and
I
think it'd be fun to do like 90s raunchy comedies.
I don't know who this Adam is, but
oh,
he's
you don't?
Never existed.
Oh, no. What have I been doing for the last 5 years?
You brought up the coloring in that movie, and it's like, I was wondering if Kevin Smith was making up for the fact that he had money and he could make a
color film.
Yeah, a color film because Clerks 2 was black and white. So he's like, I'm going to do an overabundance of this because everything was bright yellow,
yeah.
bright orange. The
purple.
Uniforms were bright purple.
Yeah, like the contrast was just insane. It was, I mean, I enjoyed looking at
it. It was
very,
visually, it was very appealing.
Yeah, it was a very appealing
technically
movie.
Sound.
I think they took
exactly.
over, I think on the production it said they took over a Burger King and switched it into the movies.
I was wondering how they do that because that's like, you can't build a set out of just like,
no, it
a
was
fast food restaurant.
It was either
could.
An old
well, yeah.
Burger King or something like that, and they renovated the building. All I know is they shot there for about like a month.
Also, I want to know, back in the day, did they just have like computers at fast food restaurants? I had never seen that.
Yeah,
before.
Dude,
I remember the Nintendo
no,
64.
Yeah, it was like they had like computers
but
and stuff
like
that.
The internet.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Because like in
video
Jay
games,
and Silent
yeah.
Bob Strike Back, he's looking yeah. up like porn or something.
He
on
went
the
to
internet.
moviepoopshoot.com.
Yeah. I was like, how do you?
That's where they're writing out the strongly worded email in the middle of movies, and he's just like, he's like, you are the ones who are the butt fuckers,
ball lickers,
ball lickers, yeah. butt fuckers.
No,
I like how Trey knew that right away too. Bullock, you are the. He's like,
we'll make disgusted that you got that wrong.
You know how many times I've seen that movie in the last 15
we'll
years?
Make them eat their shit, then shit out their shit.
We'll make them eat their shit that we made them eat. Then all you'll be next.
I forgot what we were doing.
Love Jane Silent Bob.
I wish Jane Silent Bob had a little more of a role in Clerks 2.
Yeah.
Because it felt like there were
15 bucks, little man. Put that shit in my hand.
You got Ethan Suplee there?
A little bit.
You don't really have any returning View Askew characters besides the Clerks people. I mean,
well, you have Ben Affleck
and
Jason Lee.
But they were playing different characters. They just played Jason
Lee.
Character. Yeah,
he's
Jason
like
Lee.
I like how they when they made his burger and fries and they got the ice from the urinal and everything, and they gave it to Jay and Silent Bob. He's like, "Yo, this tastes like piss and flies."
You got Jason Lee looking funny, like he just got off the set of My Name is Earl.
He definitely did.
With the hair and the stash.
I guarantee
he did. I bet you
did.
Yeah, he had to.
Because 2006, I think 06, 07 was right when My Name is Earl debuted. So it had to have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. I was wondering if
which one was Ben Affleck? I'm trying to. Oh, he just came.
Yeah, he was. It's not hygienic.
He just went in and left, didn't he?
Yeah.
What character was he again?
He showed up for... They were making out, and he just was like, that's not very hygienic.
He just walked out.
I like how neither of them ate. Jason Lee did.
Wait a minute. Should we watch Jersey Girl? I know it's not View Askew, but it's very much like...
Then he directed
that era.
It, right?
Yeah, and wrote it.
He wrote it, yeah.
Yeah, we could include that.
Let's do it. The last thing.
Okay.
Now, not to get too far off the...
Because it's not related, but it's...
Kinky Kelly and the Stud?
Is Well, no. About Jersey Girl.
Yeah.
I know Jason Mewes is supposed to be in it, then he couldn't get clean or whatever.
I don't remember that.
Oh, no, he was supposed to be in it, but they were filming it in, like, Philly, and he had a warrant out for his arrest, and if they went over there, he's going to get arrested, and they're going to lose days or whatever. So I was listening to, like, Steve-O's podcast with him.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I was actually watching it today,
okay.
So I had some stuff to talk about. But that happened, so I'm wondering, since he was originally supposed to be in it, if he was in it, would that have been a View Askew Universe movie? Would Jay
Maybe.
And Silent Bob have been in, or would Jason Mewes been in a
different
character?
I think it would
just been
a Jason Mewes different character.
But it's like, I can't imagine him.
As anyone else.
As anybody else but Jay in those movies in that context, just because and I know you say you find it grating. I love him.
I didn't hate him. No.
Every time he's on, I'm laughing.
Anytime he pops up, I love it, dude.
Now, you know who I find grating? Silent Bob.
Yeah,
I actually don't. He's not good at the miming thing.
Right,
it doesn't work for me. I don't like it.
I know. All right, I think Jay Mewes is good at what he does.
This was the new and improved Jay and Silent Bob. Yeah. Okay, they got their chip, and they were loving God. I like Jay's shirt with the wife beater with that said "Got Christ."
Oh yeah,
I think they're good in small doses.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. See, I find the opposite. I feel like everybody else in the View Askew universe is good in small doses, but Jay and Silent Bob, like, I can't wait to watch the reboot.
The amount of times when I was a kid, I would, like, open a soda, chug it, and then, like, kick the can and go, get the fuck out of here! Just like Jay did in the beginning of the movie. Like, yeah. I wasted a lot of cans and sodas. I feel bad for my mom that she bought
a bunch.
Pick them up. No, I would just, like, kick them in the alleyway. Because I love that where they're just blaring King Diamond on the stereo,
Grandma,
the old school.
What was it like?
Or just when they randomly pop up when Randall's making fun of Elias and just singing. He's like, you know, we don't like to talk about the devil. And Jay just pops up through the drive-thru and then just pushing him through. I was like, man, this is great.
Yeah. No,
it might be the most base Jay has been.
I think it was. It was. I'm excited to see where his character goes in the Clerks 3 and the reboot.
Well, I haven't seen Clerks 3, actually. I have not watched that. I watched the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, and he becomes very fatherly.
Really?
But he's still just as inappropriate, but more fatherly.
Like, just, it's still Jay.
Yes.
But which is a kid.
Very much so.
Interesting. And now he really does have a kid now.
So back in the day, I would have given Clerks 2 a 5 out of 5. I'll still give it a 4 out of 5 stars.
I'm going to go 3.
Still 4 out of 5.
I gave it a 2.5.
I'm going to go 3 just because I was still laughing.
Yeah, Blake was messaging me while watching it, and he would just be like, whoa, dude, this is wild. And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, whoa, dude.
The fucking donkey, dude. Like, where was Kevin Smith's brain during this?
Writing the donkey show?
Like, he's just like... I don't know. He was smoking weed at this point, right?
I think he always has been smoking weed.
Yeah, he might have been.
Because I keep seeing online that, like, before, Kevin Smith wasn't into weed before, which I found it so weird that, like, he has these big stoner characters.
To write the donkey show that he did in that movie, you had to have been under some sort of
weed.
Influence or substance. Yeah.
That's some K right there.
Kinky Kelly and the Stud. He's like, oh, you got it wrong. That's Kinky Kelly.
Yeah, I'm the stud.
Because there's no chick.
They kept going, no, the girl's coming out.
Yeah.
And finally, I don't think there's a girl.
And then Elias liked that one, just like Trey would have.
Yeah, Elias.
Would you go
I
to a donkey show, Trey?
Sure. Let's go.
If you were in Mexico.
Yeah, let's do it.
Or anywhere else that offers donkey show. I only say that because that's the stereotype joke that everyone goes to
Tijuana. Yeah.
Yeah. But if I'm being honest, it would probably scar me for life.
Really?
But I would go.
You sound like a pansy to me.
I would 100% do it, especially if it's at a fast food restaurant in a suburb.
Yeah, that's true. Like a Movies, yeah. A Burger King. Get you a Whopper.
Whopper with some extra.
Trademarked.
Whopper with that stud sauce.
Stud sauce.
You know who else is a stud?
Segue.
Here he goes. That's the end of the Clerks 2 review. Yeah, we did.
So we talked about
you don't have
drive.
One of those soundboards?
No, we don't.
You're a Twitch streamer?
I know. We don't have it, though. We should get one.
God, yeah, you should get one.
We watched the film Drive. The Nicholas Winding Refn, Ryan Gosling movie.
I'm trying to be Kaminsky.
I've seen it before, many times. You've seen it before, right?
I watched.
No,
it.
You watched for the first time. Both of you
watched
it
for the
first
time last week because I brought it up on the pod.
Did you watch it?
Oh, I watched.
Okay,
you gave him the movie when we left.
Well, I don't know if like you found a way to play it.
I actually couldn't figure. I couldn't get it to work because the Xbox that is at my apartment is technically hacked and it doesn't register discs. And my other roommate, his Xbox doesn't have a disc drive, and mine, the power supply is busted, and I don't have a DVD player. And I was gonna buy a DVD player, but it's like, well, if I'm gonna buy something to play physical media, I might as well buy a Blu-ray player. But I didn't have $80, so long story short, I rented it on Amazon, and I forgot to give you your disc back. Yeah. I will give that back. But
when are we ever
gonna
see each other again?
I mean, right now.
Yeah, I moving.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. Sorry, guys. This is it.
Because I can't see that DVD anymore.
Ooh.
It's kind of mine now.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
He kind of
Squatter's
gave it
right.
To me.
Okay.
Yeah. I got my mail delivered to it.
You've seen it before, right? Oh no, you hadn't seen.
I
it
I watched
before.
It for the first time last week.
All right.
Because remember, I brought it up on. I think
I
the
want
bar-
you to.
The Barbzenheimers.
So it's Let me just give a quick synopsis, and I want you guys to talk about it. It is Ryan Gosling plays a getaway driver by night, a stunt driver by day, and he falls in love with a woman, and he has to protect her because some shit's going down. And it is very stylish. It feels like a dream at times. It feels like a nightmare at times. It's an extremely stylistically cool movie. And
it's very arty.
I want to know what you guys think about it, and I'm going to let you talk.
Look at Trey.
Yeah.
It's because he probably has opinions on it, and he's waiting to see
say.
He's waiting to
fight
us on
it. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's one of my favorite movies. Fair. It's in my top four on Letterboxd, and I just am very interested to hear what you guys have to say about it. Like, I still love it. I have nothing that has changed, because I watched it maybe three times in the last few months. Actually, maybe just two times. I forgot. I watched it once with my friend Austin. But, I mean, I love it still. Like, it's one of my favorite ever. I'm just curious. I really want to know what you guys think.
It's very captivating. Like, I sat there the whole time, and when I messaged you when I watched it, I said, and I meant it in a very positive way when I said this, that it felt longer than it was, because it was only an hour and 40 minutes. But I mean, when I felt longer, it's because some of the stylistic choices, some of the way how long the shots last and stuff like that. It was very arty, but I was invested the whole time, and I was like, whoa, that was an hour and 40 minutes. Sometimes it felt like 2 hours, the way the story was told, but it was really cool. It's a very simple story.
It is.
It follows a very basic structure. Like, you're not going to get lost watching the movie or be like, oh, this went over your head or something like that, or some secret meaning. No, it's all right there out in the open for you. And you just kind of have to interpret little things because he's doesn't talk much, obviously.
Yeah.
But dude, it's a gorgeous film. I love the cinematography of it is the most beautiful part. All the shots of the city.
Yeah.
It makes you really feel like you're a passenger every time he is driving, or that like you're a part of the heist that he does.
Mm-hmm.
The opening scene, fantastic. And I know that's really divisive for some people, because when it came out, a lot of people thought it was going to be a Fast and Furious type yeah. action movie or something like that. And the first scene obviously gets you really hyped up because he's doing that first job and going through LA traffic and the cops chasing him. And it's a very realistic car chase. Like, no one's going through no high speed traffic.
Barriers.
Yeah, you're not crashing through stuff. You're trying to be as secret and as covert as you can.
Like, but I think that was so cool. That's my favorite part of that whole chase, because it's like he's just stopping in a place and waiting.
He's got he's got the radio, the police radio the on.
Then I love that he like speeds into the parking lot, parks, and walks out.
Or
just like,
makes it look like as any timed it when the game was in.
I know
perfectly.
Yeah.
Only thing that was unrealistic about that is that there were 6 minutes for the Clippers to play, and he timed it as he had 6 minutes. We all know the last minute in an NBA game lasts 20 minutes.
They're not sports fans,
right? I know that it was for the artistic style, and actually I thought that was really cool how it worked out. Because like when I saw that first opening scene, it's like, dude, you're tensed up, and you're kind of in the edge of your seat watching it. You're like, whoa. And I liked like when he turned into the truck and turned the headlights off, and when they saw that one of the cops was looking. Yeah. It was a very realistic scene. And then, as I said, I know that's some people really loved it and some people really hated it was right after that scene, because they expected the action to keep going and to get even bigger and flashier, and it never does, really, because it's a character study.
Yeah, on that first car chase, though, I was a little confused, because at first I was like, did he just ditch those guys in the car? Because they still were in the car and had the bags of money or whatever it was. Like, what happened to them?
Well, he gives them 5 minutes of his time and he's gone. He's like, whatever you do right after that. He's like, he just said, as he's like, I give you this much of my time. It's worth this. I don't do this. I don't do that. You get that much time and that's it. And so like the moment that time stops, he's like, I'm done with this.
You know,
I don't care where you go.
I was kind of thinking about that too. And that does explain it. Yeah.
That was good.
He's like, I don't care what you go or where you do or anything like that. He's like, our time's done.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know if I loved Drive.
Okay.
Trey, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought it, I understand why people love it. I understand why people that like are a little more higher class than me when it comes to watching movies. Not snobby, but like people that appreciate the artsiness and the nuances. Like, I'm more of a guy that's just like, I want to watch a movie that I like. I thought the story was really good. And I know it was a director's or like a stylistic choice.
Gosling chose the director.
Well, yeah, so this is interesting. So it was originally a movie, I forgot who the director was, but Hugh Jackman was attached, and that kind of fell apart. I guess it was like
what
the
director playing?
He was playing the driver. Hugh Jackman was gonna be more of a pulpy,
really
actually like action movie.
It was probably what more people were expecting.
Yeah,
it was
including me. And I feel like I fall into that boat where it's like, I kind of wish it was more like that. My main gripe, though, is just with the freaking delivery. Like, I hated when people were talking to each other. There's 2 minutes between every line of dialogue, and I'm just like,
that's
speak,
intentional,
speak,
yeah.
speak, speak. But I know, and that's the thing is, I understand it's a stylistic choice, and I knew that going into it. Back in 2011, on Twitter, people were saying, Drive's cool, but Ryan Gosling didn't talk for the first 30 minutes.
Then
he barely talked after that. And I was like, yeah, whatever. No, that's true.
The story was told without a voice.
No, and I agree. And I just, it, to me, that just didn't do it for me. I was going to say tickle my willy. It didn't tickle my fancy.
Can I say, I was not expecting it to go full Tarantino.
Towards the end.
That was the one scene I brought up. It was in the hotel when he was getting the information from that girl who set him up during the robbery, which, okay, the one thing I find funny, Trey, and I can't take it seriously, is when he was threatening her and he did this.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have a real gun.
Tell me,
he was like threatening a puncher.
No, he
pointed. Then throw up a fist, but he put up his thumb and his finger like a gun, but his finger with the glove on. I was like, yeah, I understand, but it's like that didn't seem realistic. But obviously, if Ryan Gosling is pissed and standing over you, you probably tell him whatever you want.
I'm probably going to tell him.
Like, you can tell.
I'll tell him whatever he wants to hear, baby.
You can tell the movie is about to take a dramatic tone shift right after that when everything gets quiet. You know something's up because you hear him move, and then the shotgun comes in through the bathroom and then just blows her brains out. And then all of a sudden, the movie is just so violent.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of Boogie Nights.
It's so calm, and then all of a sudden, bam!
Yeah, exactly.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it was good. And that's the thing is, like, the movie as a whole I enjoyed. I just didn't... I think what I kind of landed on is the, it's funny, the character study part, which is like the most important part of the movie, was my least favorite part. I like the cool fighting, violence, all that kind of stuff, like the pawn shop scene.
You don't like him driving with what's her name?
Don't say Carrie Mulligan.
Carrie Mulligan and her son.
That's my last thing. I fucking hate Carrie Mulligan. No, I hate Carrie Mulligan. I despise her. When I found out she was in this movie, I almost told you I didn't want to watch it.
Really? Mm.
She rubs me the wrong way. Her face, her voice, her delivery.
Damn.
Yeah, likes that podcaster, Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Damn. They have both the same type personality. Mm.
But Bobby's hot. Mm. I just don't like Carrie Mulligan. She's too millennial for me.
Tell that to Marcus Mumford.
I'll tell him.
That's his wife. They were like
from the Suns?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know that Carrie Mulligan has kissed Ryan Gosling and Bo Burnham in movies?
And Oscar Isaac. Because of Inside Llewyn Davis. Right. It's always funny
because he was also in this movie.
Yeah, he was.
Oscar Isaac is always with something and Carrie Mulligan. They're always together. Yeah. He was. And then I thought he was going to be a bigger part of the movie, and then he dies like 10 minutes after they show him. And then...
He's so gross in that movie,
he's
too.
He's very
like,
slimy.
Such a slimy, yeah.
But dude, when they go... The violence, it's like 100% all the time. Like after the whole hotel thing, and he goes back to see to his building, and then that's when he sees Oscar Isaac beaten up. Mm-hmm. Oscar Isaac isn't just beaten up, like black eye. His whole like front end is covered in blood, and you're like, oh my God.
In front of his kid, too.
Yeah, in front of the kid and everything. So the movie is very light, and then it takes a bit. Even the first robbery scene, there's no violence or anything like that, and then take this smash turn where it goes into that. So I could see how that would drive some people away, but also the violence, as it kept going, the violence definitely like fit into the artistic style of the movie as it was building on.
So kind of to get back into how this was developed, for some reason it got into Gosling's hands, and it was a book. And they're like, hey, you can pick your director. And he saw the movie Valhalla Rising, and that's Nicholas Winding Refn, and he picked Nicholas Winding Refn. And I guess their first interaction, their first meeting was so bad. It was really not like, it was just like a bad, like,
it's awkward
first date. Yeah, it's like awkward or something. And they're driving in the car, and I think REO Speedwagon came on, and Nicholas Winding Refn just started like singing and crying to it, and they just started like bonding over that, and then they made the movie. Like, so it's a, and I guess it was like a fully collaborative effort where all like the actors had input in their characters, and the writer and the director and Gosling all got together and really like wrote it together. And they cut out a lot of the dialogue, and it's really kind of interesting how this was made, because it was like a collaborative effort almost.
I could definitely tell they cut out a lot of the dialogue.
Yeah. And there's like, I watched some like deleted scene, not even deleted scenes. It was like production footage of deleted scenes. And it's like, oh yeah, they just cut this out because it was just more dialogue. Didn't need to be in there.
And it's fun. There's not a problem with not having a lot of dialogue. Like, it's not like I was lost. The story happened.
You don't need dialogue to follow the story. As I said, it's a really simple storyline.
They say it's a John Hughes film. It's a violent John Hughes film.
That the dude who made like Breakfast Club,
yeah, Party in Pink, Pretty in Pink, all that.
Party in Pink.
Party in Pink.
Sounds like a. Never mind.
So how many? Yeah. I forgot I was going to ask one more question about the movie, but then it slipped my mind. So how many steering wheels do you give it?
I 3.5. Yeah, I know. It just didn't do it for me.
Did you like the soundtrack?
That was what I was about to bring up. I was like, the soundtrack is awesome. Yeah. Especially the opening one, the Night Call by Kavinsky.
So I do love the Real Hero. I love that song,
too.
Oh, at
the very end?
Well, that's also in the scene where they're taking a little trip to the duckies. Their little pond.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And at the end.
Because that one scene, it does have you, I don't care, I'm going to spoil the movie. It came out in 2011. Where he's in the car after the whole stabbing, the knife fight, which obviously that's not how a real knife fight would go down. That's very artistic kind of one. But the scene of him, it's almost Blade Runner-esque where he's just in the car and you thought he was dead, and then the blink happens. You're like, there he is.
Yeah, that's her boy.
Yeah, but that ending was, I looked at it, I was just like, this is very Blade Runner 2049-ish. I can see why Ryan Gosling was in that movie too. Denis Villeneuve watched Drive.
Maybe he did. I mean,
he's an auteur. You know, he probably watched it.
Oh, he had 100% watched it. Yeah. He's a cinephile, you know.
I love and hate that term.
Yeah, I do too. We might have to update it.
I know. I think it's anything that ends with file.
Yeah. There's audio file.
It's any word that ends with file.
Those bastards ruined it for everybody.
Can't even be a pedophile anymore.
Should we move on?
Can't have hobbies anymore.
I will give it 4 steering wheels out of 5. I very much liked it a lot.
I still give it 5 out of 5. I think this is the first Gosling movie I've ever seen.
I would like to watch it a second time.
Besides the Titans, that doesn't count.
No, as we said, this is the first. There's the first movie you ever saw Ryan Gosling with, but you didn't know it was Gosling.
And that's
the second
with a lot
one,
of actors.
And then there's the second one where you knew it was Ryan Gosling and you went to go see it.
Or this is the first Ryan Gosling movie.
So he was in Remember the Titans, but like you don't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that wasn't a Ryan Gosling movie. He was a character. No. This is a Ryan Gosling movie.
It was like, this movie has Ryan Gosling in it.
Yeah.
And Ryan Gosling loves to do characters that you can dress up as for Halloween, and he has addressed that.
He has a variety of characters you can go as for Halloween.
Did you order the scorpion jacket?
Not yet. It's
going to
come soon. Eventually.
And that's the theme from the movie, that story, the scorpion and the frog.
Yeah.
I was wondering where the scorpion had to have some meaning behind
it. He's the frog and the scorpion is on his back, always threatening to
kill him,
stab him, or inject him.
And that's why he got stabbed.
Sting him.
I love the elevator scene, by the way. One of the best scenes ever.
That's where it gets very dreamy because like the lights on the elevator get brighter.
Yeah.
He kisses her, but it's not like something quick. Like the
it's
guy
almost
would
like
be
a
like,
goodbye.
Oh.
It's like a goodbye kiss.
It's almost like, did this happen in his head or something?
No, the whole time I was like, this is one of those scenes where he's just imagining this.
And then when
he's going to cut back.
And when you think that it's taking too long for him to, he can stop on stomping that guy's brains out. It's like, well, you have to think, he just made a choice to go full psycho in front of her, so you might as well do
finish
the whole
it.
Deed,
you
dude.
Might as well go full
psycho.
Fun fact, the video game Hotline Miami was heavily influenced by Drive.
Did you put that in one of your YouTube videos back in the day?
I want to go find that clip. Watch it. It's the
I'm
top
not saying
one.
Anything bad about it.
It's
I'm not making fun
video.
Of you.
It's like a few hundred thousand
viewers. I support
viewers.
Your choices.
Thank you.
I'm glad one of us does.
I know. So we have a little bit of time left, right?
Ooh, yeah. We got a little bit.
I'm going to be selfish, and I'm just going to talk about what I've been watching.
Yeah, you've been hitting up the Ryan Gosling
so
train.
So we're almost done. We have one more left. We have The Notebook I need to watch. I also have some other ones I want to rewatch. And I'm going to probably do a video on his acting styling career.
Have you found an acting?
You better be ranking.
Have you found an acting class? I know he's been wanting you to get you back in. Did you?
Yeah.
I saw the videotapes over there. I haven't watched them.
I have like a few options. We'll see.
Okay. Heck
so,
yeah, dude.
Drive, I obviously watch. Clerks 2, I obviously watch. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 new Gosling flicks I watched.
For the first time?
Yes, these are for the first time. None of them were that great. Which
he really wanted to say one was good, then he was just like, yeah, they weren't that. Yeah.
So, all good things. This is the Robert Durst movie.
Is that the lead singer from
not Fred
Limp
Durst?
Biscuit?
That's Fred Durst.
Doesn't he make movies too?
Yes, he does. That movie, so it's all confusing.
John Travolta.
Do you know remember that documentary, The Jinx?
No.
You don't remember that?
Is that World War One, Peter Jackson?
No. A callback to a conversation that wasn't even on air.
That was an inside joke.
We should live stream everything.
Yeah, I agree.
IRL streamers.
Yeah. So pretty much, it's about Robert Durst is a New York real estate mogul who killed his wife and killed a bunch of other people, and this is
shrugging right now, just being like, I'm saying, you know.
Yeah. Just saying. And this is the like it's done in a way where it's not him, but it's obviously him. Like, they don't use the name Robert Durst, but it's obviously Robert Durst. The story's kind of okay. I think Kirsten Dunst is really great in it, and Ryan Gosling's really great in it. They're both really good in it.
Dobbert Rurst, is what they called him.
And I think just the bizarre thing about this movie... Oh, also, if you want to see Ryan Gosling in drag, you can see that in this.
Oh?
The bizarre thing about it...
Was the dress cool?
No. If I did like a ranking of like the coolest jackets Gosling wears...
If I did a ranking of the coolest Ryan Gosling drag performances...
It'd probably be like... Near the bottom, maybe second to last, because the last one definitely is The Believer, where he plays a neo-Nazi, so nothing is cool in that movie.
Oh, that's the one Blake says that you look like.
Looks just like Trey.
I don't like
that's
that.
That's literally you.
No, it's not.
Which, when Trey had the...
Shaved head.
Yeah, I was going to say something else, but yeah, shaved head is a better way to describe that.
All good things is an okay drama. It's just the most bizarre thing is that Robert Durst watched this movie and signed off on it so much that he agreed to do a documentary about him, where he finally got thrown in prison because he said he had his mic on in the bathroom and he like pretty much admitted to everything. So I think you've heard that story,
been there,
right,
brother?
He was in the clear, got on a documentary to talk about it.
Yeah,
left his mic on
in the bathroom.
So who was he talking to in there?
So did just they himself. Hear him poop or pee?
Maybe.
What do you
Maybe
mean he's talking to himself, just admitting everything?
Yeah.
On
also,
purpose?
No, I don't know. Maybe on purpose. I mean, maybe like subconsciously.
Like what goes through your mind?
I don't know.
To talk to yourself.
Because you are a sociopath and you have the biggest ego and want to be caught. And you think nothing can touch you. But fact is Gosling did not do press for this. It was right when Blue Valentine came out, and he only did press for Blue Valentine, and he said it was just such too of a dark experience. Mm. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Okay, I saw a movie called United States of Leland. This is one of his really, really early roles, 2003. He kind of played, and the interesting thing about like Gosling's early work, and I was listening back to The Hardline on The Ticket, their Barbie review. And Corby said, like, I didn't realize that he was a young actor. I just thought, like, he did The Notebook and he became famous. Before The Notebook, he played, if you look at his roles before The Notebook and obviously after Remember the Titans, let me go do it this way. He plays a neo-Nazi, a depressed football player questioning his sexuality, a sociopath who might be bisexual, an autistic, possibly murderer, and then he does The Notebook, and then he plays another depressed kid. It's like he plays like really like depraved or disturbed characters.
You feel like he's using this as an outlet?
I just think he just feels like that inside. Parts. I don't know, maybe. Then he goes to his Half Nelson. I mean, he picks really good roles, and he's very good at them. Mm-hmm. Like his face, you could just he has these small emotions in his face that really he's just really good at facial acting. So United States of Leland's not a great movie.
Which one's that? Is that the murder one?
Yeah, it's Don Cheadle. He murders a mentally handicapped kid who kind of looks like Corbin, her friend Corbin
from
yeah, he kind of looks like him.
The dude from High School Musical.
No, you don't know who this
he looks
is.
Like Corbin Blue.
This is a
looks
reference.
Like Chad.
This is a reference for two people. Yeah. The whole movie is like Don Cheadle like talking to him in like juvie and he's just like it's just not great. Like he's telling like his view on things and it's whatever.
We're giving the wrong people platforms.
I think it is giving the wrong people platforms.
That's a very fair criticism.
The Slaughter Rule. This is the hardest one to find. I finally found it. This is like his second movie.
123movies.com.
I want to drop that link.
It's not even there. This is the one where
where'd you find it?
I looked it up on Twitter. I looked up the name of the movie on Twitter, The Slaughter Rule, and someone said that they watched it. And I go, where did you find it? And they sent me a link.
So you just went on Twitter.
I searched the name of the movie.
And went
someone
to some
watched
porn
it.
Bots.
Yeah.
And then they got you.
They got me.
Maybe they sent you another link.
So this is the one where
yeah,
this is
one.
Probably the hardest one to watch.
Because the subject matter?
Well, so the idea is that Ryan Gosling plays a high school football player in Montana. You see the little line with football players.
Yeah, he loves football.
This is right after. This is right after where he played the neo-Nazi.
Oh, I found the guy who answered you on Twitter with
there
the link.
There you go. Yeah.
This doesn't even have a www. It's www1.
That's some shit I'm clicking.
I'm really afraid to open this on my phone, dude. Are you sure you watched the Ryan Gosling one?
Yeah, I watched the right one. Trust me, I watched it. He is a football player in Montana. His father dies, and he gets kicked off the football team. And this guy, who's like this local, is starting a six-man football team, and he wants Ryan Gosling to be his quarterback. And this guy is definitely grooming Ryan Gosling, and he is touching him way too much, and he's spending way too much time with him, and maybe he's a pedophile, and he's probably definitely 100% a pedophile.
Is that the point of the movie?
The point of the movie is about masculinity and being tough, woke. And I think it's about, I don't know.
The opposite
know.
About
like,
Barbie?
It's just like, woke. I don't think they villainized this guy at all.
When they should have?
They kind of did, but like at the end, it kind of ends up like...
Typical Hollywood.
I mean, it's not Hollywood. It's a very small film. See, I always disagree with like that. Like, this is not Hollywood. This is a small
any
movie.
Any movie's Hollywood.
I
don't
guess
you know?
So, right?
Well, okay. Speaking of pedophiles,
your uncle. Uh-oh. So like, it's just uncomfortable because like he. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say. Well, actually, this is gonna go on a tangent. So, you finish your thought, and then I'll ask my question.
Throughout the movie, it's like. Obvious that he's eyeing Ryan Gosling's character, and he's like always spending time with him and over touching him, and and maybe it's because I know the point of the movie, it looks like it, but it's like it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
And there's like a point in the movie where he is like roughhousing with him, and it never gets to a point where it's goes there, but never.
I don't like that answer. I don't like that shrug. What do you mean?
It's a.
is there kissing?
There's not mouth to kissing, but there is maybe a embrace Gross. That lasts too long and a little bit of ear kissing.
Who kissed whose ear though?
The coach did.
Yeah, that's
and there's a bit. It's a lot, and it's hard to watch. And I get the point of it, but in 2023 it comes off as grooming, and it comes off as a. Pedophile grooming a young boy, and I think we're past that. I think we're past that as a society.
Grooming.
Yeah. Grooming.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
we just need to
That's
get.
Why I don't bathe?
I don't know. Yeah. It's I gave it 2 stars. It's not great. You want to watch it? You can.
I got the link.
You got the link.
I found it.
All right. I watched Song to Sing as well. That's the Terrence Malick movie. This is a weird one because it's. I don't know how familiar you are with Terrence Malick. His stuff is very dreamy. Like, the camera's always moving around, and it's voiceovers, and it's about something, man. It's about a thing.
Is it pretentious?
Yeah. You could call it pretentious.
I don't like pretentious movies.
Yeah, you
movies.
Wouldn't like this.
He was like that
and
Mr.
honestly,
Robot.
I, a lot
yeah.
of...
Yeah, he's I mean, like Mr. Robot.
He was like that Mr. Robot.
Oh, he was in Mr. Robot?
Yeah.
Who?
Malick,
Terrence
dude.
Malick? Oh, yeah?
Well,
no, that's
Rami
Malek. I mean, this movie's very divisive.
How many Maleks were in that?
I was just thinking of Rami. Yeah.
So this movie's very divisive. Yeah. It has Ryan Gosling in it, obviously.
Yeah.
It has...
What's divisive about
that? It has
that?
Michael Fassbender in it. It has
I like
Natalie
Michael Fassbender.
Portman in it. But
Natalie
it's just...
Portman,
it's odd. It takes place in Austin, Texas, though.
Oh!
Yeah.
Any movies take place in Austin?
It felt like, though, like a dream, but not... It felt like... I gave it 3 stars just because I think I enjoyed watching it. But I couldn't tell you what was going on. I know a bunch of hot people were kissing. That's all I know.
Send me
send me that link too.
Yeah, send me this one instead.
Send me that one. Then I watched Gangster Squad. That's the.
I remember when that came out. Yeah. I never saw it.
It's like a. I wrote that it's a cardboard cutout of something kind of cool. It's just kind of stiff.
Who's in
it's
that?
Like who's I mean Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are in it. It has Josh Brolin, Sean Penn.
Ah, that's why I brought up Sean Penn earlier, not Simon Pegg.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Ah, the dude from Ted.
Right. Michael Peña.
Is he
in
the
it?
Guy that plays the creepy?
Peña?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, the bad guy. I always thought that was Casey Affleck.
He could have played
well,
that too.
Because Casey Affleck is the real life villain.
But Giovanni Ribisi is the best creeper in that movie.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Michael Peña's in it.
So they had a, I'm trying to think, have I seen that movie?
The movie came out in 2013.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that.
If you look at the movie poster, like I remember when that came out because they did a lot of marketing for that. Because the concept, like that time era and all that stuff, that's cool. Anyone wants to see gangsters and stuff like that and suits and guns and
But it's just not
hookers
very good.
And
not very
cigars.
Good. It's kind of stiff.
Oh, what?
So,
I'm not going to make a joke.
The final
the first stiff thing you said I wouldn't like.
Sorry.
Of those movies, I don't know. I mean, you want to see Ryan Gosling get diddled? Get his balls grabbed by a football coach? Watch that.
All right.
So,
hey, diddle diddle.
What did, were there consequences to those actions?
So here's the thing. There weren't really. And that's kind of what I had an issue with.
That's real life, like, brother.
Okay. I don't know. It's.
I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
I'm very sad. I cry every day.
So what was your tangent?
Oh, well, you were talking about, did he, like, or was that, was the coach, I think I asked, like, is the coach portrayed as, like, this really bad guy or whatever, or something like that, and you said, no, it reminded me of that movie, which I watched for the first time. I can't remember what it's called. It's the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, Happiness.
Happiness, yeah. I watched that, and I didn't like that because...
You shouldn't like that movie.
Well, because the idea, I didn't like that they were portraying him as, like, a human.
I don't think they were portraying him as a human.
That's what I took.
The one who butt-fucked the friend,
yeah,
that dead.
Yeah.
They made him, like, the most human of all their life,
yeah,
at the end of the movie. They, yeah, humanized him the most.
Yeah,
the
more than any
one,
of,
dude,
the other ones, yeah.
He drugged, like, his son's friend and...
But he wasn't.
Had his
I don't
way
think
with
it was. But that's disgusting. Like, he wasn't human, though. For me, like,
but
that
they,
wasn't.
But they humanized. Was, the, literally, the idea
the whole
is
point
like,
of it was like he's just this normal guy. They tried to humanize
so,
it the whole time.
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't like it.
There's a way to do that, yeah, and where you can really portray them as a monster.
They didn't make him.
They
a monster.
Didn't do that. I was feeling like sorry for him. I was like, what
yeah,
the?
Yeah. I think
I was smacking myself in the head. Just
okay. This one's a little different. It because it doesn't. You never. Rapes anybody in this. It's just more like
that's a rough
it's
word.
A rough word, dude. You don't hear that every day.
It's like Clerks 2.
Oh, by the way, yeah. United States of Leland has the most R words in a movie that has been a Kevin Smith movie in a while.
Really?
Yeah, there's some hard R's in there.
Is that the white supremacist one?
No, the re.
Oh.
But like it's such a. But here's the thing. What was so weird about it is it's a serious, serious drama about someone murdering a special ed kid, and they said a R kid.
Oh,
and it's like dead serious.
Well, was this because it was a product of his time? That's,
I mean, it's 2003,
what,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they, that's like a, the medical were, term at, yeah, one point. I don't know in 2003 yeah, if it was. I don't know back in the day it was.
I think it's different than Happiness. He's, it's just at the end, it's like he doesn't get any kind of comeuppance. And I don't know. Like, it just feels weird.
Yeah. That's
it's
fair.
Not, it's not like I'm disgusted by it, but it just feels icky.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's fair. I think it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
That you feel icky. I feel I'd be more concerned if you watch that and you're like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to hear your ranking after
it's,
you finish them all. Is
yeah,
it in the process?
So
have you been ranking them?
You still got two.
I have. Yeah. So I have one more.
Oh, one.
I have The Notebook.
I love how that's the last.
It's ended up being the last one because I'm like,
you know, it's readily available. You can watch it wherever.
Because I had seen the ones I kind of wanted to see, and then like, well, might as well just finish it. And it's like, oh, I haven't seen The Notebook. Well, I'll just save that for last because I know that will be at least decent, and that's a very important one.
It's very good. I love it.
Yeah,
I cried.
I'm gonna rewatch like First Man, and I think I'm gonna rewatch Place Beyond the Pines and
Barbie.
Yeah, I might actually rewatch Barbie.
I want to go see it again.
I'm gonna see it again.
Because I feel like I don't want to miss my opportunity.
I would like to see it again.
I kind of want to rewatch, even though I just watched it, Half Nelson again. Because like that's one he got nominated for Academy Award for.
The Crack Teacher.
It's really good. Yeah.
I haven't even heard of that.
You
is
should watch
it an older one?
Yeah, it came out like the 2000s, in like 2005. It feels like a movie from 2005.
Really?
Didn't you just say 06?
Maybe 06. 05, 06.
Well, which one is it? Yeah, does it feel like 05 or does it feel like 06?
I couldn't tell you.
Because when I think of 2006, I think of Clerks 2.
That's true.
Is this Clerks 2?
Same time.
It's called Half Nelson or Full Nelson?
Half Nelson.
Half Nelson.
Half Nelson.
Y'all got to catch up.
2006. It is a Clerks 2 movie.
Got to watch Jury Duty. Over.
I do. I do want to watch Jury Duty.
I just finished it.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially like when you're watching it and there's some episodes you're like, okay, there's no way he hasn't caught on yet or anything like that. And you start thinking it's fake. The last episode is all of them showing like all the times and proving that it was not fake, and they're like, he almost caught us so many times.
Was it like
cameras.
The last episode on the reality TV shows where it's like the tell all, like,
yeah,
they go and
so,
everything.
So episodes
people.
1 through 7 is the whole Jury Duty and the prank they're pulling on him, mm-hmm, and then the last episode is them showing how they did it all and what went down and how many times he almost found out.
Yeah,
just accidentally in the like the process of it. And then, because that last episode made me go, okay, they didn't fake this.
And they're only 30-minute episodes, right? Or are they out?
22.
They're 22.
I'll crank
maybe.
That out in one evening.
Yeah, it's 8 episodes.
You need to crank that.
Dude, I'll put it in perspective. I've had 2 episodes left of Succession for the last 3 weeks, and I just can't get myself to finish it.
You need to finish it. It's so good.
I don't like season 4.
I haven't like watched that show because I don't really care to watch rich people bitch.
Okay.
Succession
right.
is a really good show, and I really enjoyed it.
I don't like to watch rich people bitch. It's a compelling drama.
Okay, there you go.
You wouldn't get that.
This makes sense coming from you.
Mr. Oh, look, dick
I
and
bet,
fart
I
jokes.
Bet,
it's so it's like how guys talk in real life.
Yeah, dick and fart jokes like are way better than old billionaires arguing with each other in a corporate office.
It's like me and my brothers. It's so fun.
Damn right. I would rather be laughing at fart jokes than dealing with,
you know
how
what?
Are we going to solve this world crisis, man? Because our media won't get on.
There's plenty of dick and fart jokes in Succession.
Well,
it's all from Roman.
I'm not going to find out.
All right.
Now,
unless some girl wants to watch Succession, I'll watch it.
What if the creepy coach wants to watch it?
Well, me and the coach will have a conversation first. We'll figure
it
out.
All right.
Was it kissing before or after?
It was an embrace and then a kiss.
Okay.
All right. Was that like your uncle for you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They went a little further, but we don't have to get into that.
Okay.
No.
He's not joking, Jay. He's not joking.
I'm unfortunately not.
It's okay.
Like, seriously.
Do y'all want to hear stories?
Yeah.
So, actually, I tweeted this. Did you see the tweet?
No, you don't have to say any stories.
Well, I won't go into that, but I'll say something funny.
Okay.
I realized this guy was a fucking crackpot when he took us out into the woods. I tweeted this, so y'all might have seen it. And he's convincing me, my brother, and my cousin that he is the seventh son of the seventh son and he has the power to move things with his mind.
X-Man.
Move those pants. Then we immediately hit him with, and he's full of serious, dude. He's a crazy person. We're like, but you have 2 siblings and you're the second son. How many siblings does your dad have? He goes, it's not important. I said, well, it's very important. I was like, and then we're like, okay, move that fucking rock. He goes, no, not, I only do it when I don't have to impress you. Well, he goes, I only want to do it when I want to do it. I'm like, man, go back to touching us.
Well, that's the podcast.
Guess we'll be watching, I forgot the next Musk Universe movie.
The cartoon.
Yep.
I'm going to watch the cartoon. Y'all have to watch it.
Well, bye.
Thanks, Blake.